We now bring to these microphones David James, and normally we catch him someplace around the world teaching in one of the Word of Life Bible Institutes. We do that today as well. He's in Canada. He's at Owen Sound, Ontario, Canada, where he has been teaching to the students of the Bible Institute there for Word of Life in Canada. I've got to ask you something, David. Is snow still on the ground up there?
It's snowing this morning. Springtime in Canada is it's a different beast.
It sure is. For the last 10 years, I've been going up to Owen Sound, and they used to ask me, is that near the North Pole? I said, no, but you can see it from there. Indeed. Did you have a good ministry with the young people?
Yeah, I had a great time. Taught one of my favorite courses, God's Plan Through the Ages. You know, I taught that course 6 different times last year, and I'm scheduled to teach it a number of times this year. I'll be in Scroon Lake teaching it in a few weeks. And so, I had a great time. Just finished this morning.
Well, praise the Lord. Have journey's mercies as you get back to the States. David, let's get into our discussion now. You know, you and I generally stay out of the political discussions, but sometimes they overlap theological issues. Now, that happened this week with the kickoff of the first official 2016 presidential candidates campaign. Talk to me about it.
That's right. This week, Ted Cruz spoke at Liberty University in one of their convocations this week, which would have been made up of about 10,000 students and staff and faculty. And so it was there that he announced that he was entering into the 2016 presidential race.
Why in the world would Ted Cruz choose Liberty University as the place that he announced his run for president of the United States?
Well, actually, from a number of perspectives, it was a pretty smart move, given where he comes from politically and religiously. I do believe that he would consider himself an evangelical Christian, and Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world. They have about 13,000 and 14,000 on-campus students, and some estimates up to 100,000 online students. It's the seventh largest four-year university in the United States, and so it's a bastion of, at least in name, evangelical Christianity. And also Virginia, where it's located, will probably be a battleground state for the upcoming election with 13 electoral votes.
Jerry Falwell Jr. is the current president of Liberty University, and it was his father who began his rise to prominence in both political and religious circles in the 1970s. In fact, David, I don't mean to brag here, but I've got to be able to share a testimony. It was 1976 when I was running for United States Congress from upstate New York, and Jerry asked me to speak on a Wednesday night on a Christian's responsibility in the political arena. I gave a little civics test with about 10 questions, and I've got to say Jerry did not do too well. But it was soon after that he learned, and he started the Moral Majority across the world. And so he has been center focus for many years, and now it looks like Jerry Falwell Jr. is stepping into that position as well.
Well, you're right. And, you know, as you mentioned, he started the Moral Majority. That was in 1979, and it shut it down in 1987, so it went for about 8 years. And the thinking at that time with Ronald Reagan in his second term, that they had accomplished a lot of what they had wanted to accomplish. But now, especially from the last presidential election, there's this reemergence of focusing on evangelicals as a significant voting bloc and kind of a merging of the political right and the religious right. And Liberty would be a key place to do that, given its history.
Yeah, and the reason that we're discussing this is because of what you've just said, our concern about the resurgence of a convergence of the political right and the religious right as we go into the 2016 election season. Now, we touched on this issue back in 2012 concerning a prayer rally held the night before the opening of the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida. Reflect on that and remind us.
That's right. Rodney Howard Brown, who is one of the most extreme word faith preachers and evangelists, a South African who came to the U.S. to be a missionary, is a pastor of the River Church in Tampa, and there was a pre-convention prayer rally, actually about a five-hour event. Michelle Bachmann was there. Mitt Romney had a representative there. There were a number of important people who participated in that rally. So another place where we're seeing this convergence and politicians trying to tap into the conservative religious vote in the United States.
Talk to me about how you see what maybe some of the problems, a few of them, may be major problems with the merging of the political right and the religious right.
You know, on the one hand, certainly there are some shared core values just by nature of being conservative, but they're two different ideologies and two different approaches philosophically. So, for example, unity in politics is built around either the things that you agree on that you talk about, or you don't talk about the things that you disagree on, and in between, the unity is based upon compromise. Whereas in the religious right, when we're talking about theological issues and people who would claim to be believers in Christ and believers in the Bible, unity is based upon conviction and shared theology and shared beliefs based upon what the Word of God teaches. So right at the very beginning, when you talk about the conflict between conviction versus compromise, it's like mixing oil and water. And so the other thing is, politics is about power, it's about money, it's about influence, and religion, when we think about conservative evangelicalism, it's talking about reaching people with the gospel and discipling people to be followers of Jesus Christ. Even though they share some social issues and some ethical and moral commonalities, the overriding approaches to these are just radically different.
Let me bring to the table in our conversation that back in 76 and in 78, when I was running for United States Congress upstate New York, my wife Judy did not want me to do that. I do believe it was her prayers that helped me come to the understanding I'm not a compromiser. I don't even know how to spell compromise. And I decided one day during my quiet time, I did not want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, look at all the laws I got passed, Jesus. I would rather stand there and say, look at all the lives I had contact with and made a difference in because of teaching of the Word of God. So that's a part of how you must make decisions in this arena as well. Let me go back to Rodney Howard Brown just for a moment. In addition to heading up the pre-Republican convention prayer rally at his church in Tampa, he has also established another event, Celebrate America. It was first held last year. Two of the speakers at last year's Celebrate America were Mark Biltz and Jonathan Kahn, whom we've discussed on this program even last week in connection with their books on the Blood Moon Tetrad and the Mystery of the Shemitah. How are these connected together to the topic we're discussing today?
Well, actually, in a number of ways. For one, Rodney Howard Brown, being an extreme word faith preacher, he would also hold to a dominion kingdom now theology, trying to establish God's kingdom on the earth through the church. And now when you connect it through political means, then it adds another dimension to even making worse theology out of bad theology. And then with Jonathan Kahn focusing on the United States and how it's connected to Isaiah 9:10 and things repeating here that happened in northern Israel. Then you have the Hebrew Roots movement trying to bring Christians back to observance of the law, and which Mark Biltz is connected with the Hebrew Roots movement. You have a lot of things converging, and it also highlights the fact that there are people from lots of different religious beliefs connected together to accomplish political goals. That was the same problem Jerry Falwell ran into with the Moral Majority. He had Mormons, he had Jews, he had Catholics, he had evangelicals all across the spectrum and coming together to try to accomplish certain goals. And again, you have to be silent on the things you disagree with or compromise.
You know, that is a major issue with the conversion of these two, the religious right and the political right. There's more than just the convergence, though, of the political right and the religious right. As you're mentioning, there's a merging and converging of many leaders from different theological perspectives, not only Christianity, but others as well, all in the name of unity for political purpose. That was highlighted, I believe, this last week, a very controversial story that broke concerning Glenn Beck and a well-known leader of the extremes of the charismatic movement. Give us more information.
That's right. It really caused quite a stir. Chuck Pierce, who's considered a modern-day prophet, and in the same vein as Rodney Howard Brown, he actually placed and passed on a prophetic mantle to Glenn Beck. Now, Glenn Beck was formerly Catholic, converted to Mormonism in the late 1990s, and to this day would still, Chuck Pierce even noted that he was a Mormon, but he also seemed to reference the fact that he was also a brother in the Lord. Now, here again, you have, this is a very troubling thing, because if he is still a Mormon, the Jesus that he believes in is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of Mormonism is the spirit brother of Lucifer. You can't believe in that Jesus and be born again. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. But again, you take someone who has a conservative voice, who's very powerful, you're mixing power, politics, religion, theology, and you end up with a very dangerous mess.
I was listening to you very closely there, David. We got back to our always bottom line, and that is, what does God's Word have to say it? Every week, there are new developments that point to the stage being set further for the fulfillment of end-time prophecies, and everyone needs to be prepared, but they need to do that by understanding God's prophetic Word, do they not?
They absolutely do, and you know, I don't think that you and I are going to run out of any topics anytime soon in the foreseeable future. But in the meantime, I'm hoping that our weekly discussions are encouraging people to evaluate the times, evaluate current events in light of Scripture, that everything comes back to be evaluated against the Word of God, and that means that we have to get into the Word of God and know it for ourselves, and it become a part of our heart and part of our convictions and part of the direction of our lives, and as we prepare others as well as we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All I know how to say is amen and amen, David. Appreciate that. Well, indeed, we'll do this again, another conversation on a very important issue that Christians need to understand from a biblical perspective. That'll come up next week when David, James, and myself get together for this conversation. David, thank you. Have a safe journey back home.
Thank you so much, Jimmy.